He's going to preach for us this morning, so give him a hand. He's from Vintage Faith. We've been praying for them, so welcome, Anthony.
Well, good morning. My name is Anthony Valentine. I am one of the pastors who serve at Vintage Faith Church, not too far from here, Cicero, New York, about 5-8 minutes. I'm excited to be here. Excited to be here because Vintage Faith and Renovation and Missio and Covenant are entering into this family of churches kind of partnership, which is going to be a little more formal than just, hey, we believe the same things and we're kind of doing the same things, but we're formalizing it. I'm sure you guys have heard a lot about that. We've been talking about it at Vintage, and we just feel really blessed and honored to be part of this. It's something that we as a church, Vintage Faith, have needed to have other gospel-preaching churches with the same doctrine kind of linking arms with us. I spent 2 days this week with Mike Mazey, your pastor, and other pastors. We had a great time, thought through what this partnership could look like, and again, we are just really excited for that. Let me pray, and then we will begin. Heavenly Father, thank God for your grace upon grace upon grace. Lord, we would not even know you if not for you, reaching out to us. When we were still enemies, Christ died for us. Lord, help that truth to permeate everything that is said today. And as we leave, help us to revel and rest in that truth. Heavenly Father, I lift up Mike and team in Scotland and just pray for safety and a fruitful couple weeks. I pray that the partnership grows in Scotland. I pray that it can be productive. And I pray that you return all the Covenant and Reno people home safely. Lord, as we hear your word today, speak to our hearts, comfort those who need to be comforted, encourage those who need encouragement, press on those who need to repent. We know your Holy Spirit is among us, and we thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we would dismiss the kids. I think that is the right time for that. So if your kids are going to go into the kid service, now is the time. Mark Dever of Capitol Hill Baptist Church, he is a pastor at Capitol Hill Baptist Church, asked this question. If you were to go to one book of the Bible to see how strange Christians are, what book would you go to? And of course, you guys are in 1 Peter. His answer was 1 Peter. Now, that's Mark Dever's opinion. I would happen to agree with him. As you guys know, this book is really pressing on the Christian as, hey, you are in exile. You are a sojourner. This is not your home. Last week, Mike preached a great sermon on the Christian witness as sojourners and how obedience to God is part of our witness to the nations. This week, there's going to be a little of the same, but Peter is going to shift gears a bit, and he is going to talk about submission to authority as part of our witness. In a few weeks, you guys are going to be in chapter 4, and it's going to be, Peter will say, hey, the Gentiles, the non-believers, actually think it strange that when they go out into their flood of debauchery, you're not going with them, my paraphrase. So this entire book is just setting up this idea that we are, this is not our home. We are citizens of another kingdom. We bow the knee to another king. But, that does not mean that we just do anything we want. And that's what Peter is going to address today. So let's get into our text. If you have your Bibles, please open them to 1 Peter chapter 2. We are in 13, verse 13 through 17 this morning. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. As I said, up into this point, Peter's been using a lot of this Old Testament language of exile and sojourner. He's actually hearkening back to Babylonian captivity when God's people were in exile in Babylon. And the prophet Jeremiah says something to this effect, again, my paraphrase, it's going to be a long time. You're going to be here for a bit. Plant, marry, have your daughters and your sons marry. You're going to be in Babylon for a while. Seek the welfare of the city. He says in Jeremiah 29:7, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Brothers and sisters, as sojourners, as exiles, as Christians, we are to be in the world, yet not of it. So to be in the world, there's going to be some implications. And Peter is putting his finger on the implications of submitting to authority. And again, last week, I listened to Mike's sermon, and he was kind of teasing out this idea that when the law is given, what does the human flesh typically do? I don't want to do that, right? You might not have even felt that you didn't want to do that, but when you hear the law, you like, there's something in you that pushes against it. And I would submit to you that today, Peter's text about submitting to authorities is going to do the same thing to our flesh, right? I don't want to submit. What do you mean, submit? Do you know the authority that I'm under? Let's go to 1 Peter. Let's look at 13 and 14 of the verses we just read and call out some of these words here. He says, be subject for the Lord's sake. So those are very important words. We're not subject to authorities for the authority's sake. We are subject to authorities for the Lord's sake. To every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So we're gonna circle around this idea this morning of submission, but not just for submission's sake, submission for the Lord's sake. There's a quote from Vodi Bakum, and he says this, submission to God is always by proxy. How do we submit to God's authority? First, in the home. We submit to God's authority by submitting to our parents. This is all tied up in the fifth commandment. The child's submission to his or her parents All right, I'm glad you left. I didn't want to be the one to break the ice on that. Amen. The Lord has given us, and that's fine, whoever, you know, I've been there. I know that well. It's all good. All right, thank you for laughing. that's great. So this is all tied up in the fifth commandment, as the Lord has just shown us. The child's submission to his or her parents is the child's submission to God. In the church, submission to authority is submission to God. In the state, submission to the authority of the state is submission to God. We submit to God by proxy through the human agencies he has established, and through those individuals he has put an authority over us. So the first sentence, submission to God is always by proxy. I can think of times where it's not by proxy. But you get the general idea that Bauckham is saying here. Like, God establishes authority in our lives, and when we submit to that authority, we're actually submitting to him. And brothers, sisters, friends, we live in a world where submission is a dirty word. The culture around us does not like the word submission. It's seen as weak. It's seen as a way that we can be taken advantage of, and that can happen. But when we look into the Bible and we look at the word submission, it is seen as a very godly characteristic. In fact, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, submitted perfectly to his Father. When he was in the garden and he's wrestling with going to the cross to buy your salvation and my salvation, and he's sweating and just in his humanity wrestling with, I don't want to do this, and he asks the Father, is there another way? But he ultimately comes to, no, Father, I will bend to your will. And his will. Brothers and sisters, we are here today worshiping God because of Jesus' perfect submission in his incarnation to the Father. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor Anthony, I'm okay with submitting to God, but where I struggle with is submitting to these authorities, these godless authorities in my life. You don't know my boss. You don't know my husband. The governor, whatever it is for you, it's evil. What about that? Well, first, the Lord has given us human institutions and government. They are from him. Let's go to Genesis 9, verse 5. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man. So the Lord sets up here, post-fall, a system of justice. This isn't the Lord telling, hey, if somebody kills someone close to you, you go out and exact revenge. It's not saying that. This is being set up in a communal way. It's really the beginning of government. Not exactly, but it's the seeds of government. Let's hear a quote from David Van Drunen. He's a Westminster Seminary professor. He says this of Genesis 9:5. Well, the Noahic covenant doesn't formally institute civil government. It authorizes it. Although this mentions a specific act of injustice, bloody murder, it points to a broader principle, the so-called lex talionis, the law of retribution. The Mosaic covenant later summarized it as eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. The point isn't the need for physical mutilation, but that the punishment should fit the crime. So why do we submit as Peter's telling us in our text today to the authorities? Well, because God has instituted government. It's from him. It's from him. What about if we don't agree with the person making the decisions? Well, it's still from him. We'll get there in a moment. Hold that thought. Paul, later in Romans, picks up on this same principle from Genesis, Romans 13. He says this, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. He is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer." So both Paul and Peter in our text are giving the believers of that time instructions to submit to the authorities. Now we gotta think about this for a minute, because who's in power, at least at the time Peter is writing? Nero. Crazy Nero. Like, if there was ever an erratic, emotionally disturbed, oppressive leader who's going to hurt the people under him, it was Nero. And Peter, God writing through Peter, knows that while he's writing that the whole city of Rome is going to burn. And Nero's going to blame the Christians. And even in that environment, Peter is saying, submit to the authorities. This is tough medicine, right? This is not easy. I know that there's going to be a spectrum of people kind of wrestling through things like, really? Even if, or what if? And we'll get to some of those. Quote from John Calvin. He says, "Some kind of government, however deformed and corrupt it may be, is still better and more beneficial than anarchy." Think about that for a moment. As I was working through the sermon this week, I was thinking about that quote. There's a movie series out there that I have not seen, but it's called The Purge. Anyone seen it? Or anyone? The Purge. My kids have talked about it. That is the idea where I think it's a 12-hour, maybe a full day, where they just drop all laws. And you can do anything you want. Just imagine that for a moment. That's anarchy. And what Calvin is putting his finger on, and what Peter and Paul are saying, is even bad authority is better than no authority. So as Christians, we are to submit. And you may be thinking, but yeah, what about when the government or the authorities tell us to go against the word of God? Okay, that's a good question. We should be thinking about that as Christians, because our King is Jesus. Our Lord is Jesus. We will submit by proxy to governors and presidents and all of that. But our King, ultimately, we bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Amen? We bow the knee to Jesus, not to the government. And we have this great example in the scripture where you've got Peter and the apostles, and they're preaching the word, and people are coming to faith, and people are being healed. And it's like what every pastor wants to see. It's revival every time he preaches. And he gets thrown in jail by the authorities. They're like, stop this. Everyone's following him. We don't want our people following Peter and the apostles. So he's thrown in jail, and the angel comes at night and frees Peter and the apostles and tells them, go preach. Go preach. And in Acts 5, I'll pick it up in 27, the authorities come to him, and this is what ensues. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in his name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." The brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a time where civil disobedience is called for. When the government is telling us to do one thing, but God is saying do another. Now, I recognize that Christians are going to have different places where they draw those lines and see that, and we're not going to get into that. So the first reason, though, that we subject ourselves to human institutions is because human institutions have been instituted and ordained by God himself. By God himself. The second reason is, as Christians, you and I have a unique role to submit. Like, it's baked into our entire faith that we submit. Peter's going to go on, and in 1 Peter, he's going to talk about servants, masters, wives, husbands, young, old. And he's just going to kind of go through these relationships where submission is required. I would present to you this idea that the form of our submission as Christians is unique. Like, it's different than the world. We are called to serve others. We're called to turn the other cheek when we're offended. We're called to go the second mile. We're called to suffer injustice. The world would agree with some of what we're saying today, but it wouldn't agree with that. See, we have an avenger. God is our avenger. We don't have to exact justice. God has that covered. That doesn't mean we don't speak into justice in this world. I'm not saying that. There's not enough time to nuance all of this. But the meek, the Christian, will inherit the world. Strength, under control, submissive, not arrogant. That's our unique witness. All right, Peter keeps going. 1 Peter 2:15. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." This is connecting to last week. Mike preached on our obedience, not blaspheming God's name. In fact, verse 12 from last week, I'm not going to have it on the screen, but it says, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds." So 1 Peter 2:15 is kind of pairing with that. Like, hey, there's going to be people out there maligning you, maligning me just because you're a Christian. Just because there's this unseen battle going on, spiritual war. And in the time of Peter, they were charging the Christians with all types of things: cannibalism, incest, political treason. And it wasn't true. So Peter's saying, hey, submit. Show these people that are maligning you that they're wrong, or at least make them into liars by your conduct. Edmund Clowney says this: "By our civil obedience, we silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Christians were often charged with subversion of the established order. By their law-abiding conduct, they could silence the lie to such wild and ignorant accusations." When I was in my 20s, which was quite some time ago, I was in the corporate world, and one of the jobs that I was assigned to at one point in my tenure there at the place I was at was to build a team from scratch, build a sales team from scratch, put a team together and then kind of mobilize them forward. And it involved a lot of hiring, but we were paying, the company I was working for was paying well below industry standard for the hires. But at the same time, there was this flip. If they could wait it out a year, they'd be making above the industry standard, and it was really good money. So there was this weird one-year window that I was always kind of working with as I was hiring new hires. And as you might imagine, being well below the industry standard and asking people to wait a year, they might think philosophically, oh, I can wait a year, but when you're actually waiting a year to make money, it can be hard. As you can imagine, that created some tension, some chaos in the office. It was really hard to get good people that would fit inside that, like they could wait a year. But by God's providence, I hired a Christian, and I knew he was a Christian because it was like all over his resume. And then I interviewed him, like, hey, tell me about yourself. And he told me, as a good Christian should do. Hired another one. I'm not a believer at this point. I'm an unbeliever. And then hired a third. And I began to see quickly that there was something different about these people versus all the other people I was hiring. They weren't gossiping. They weren't complaining. They were actually probably the hardest workers I had on the team. Not, I mean, there was other hard workers, but they were hard workers, and they were submissive to me. Like, I knew it. Like, these guys weren't just, they like, hey, tell me what I need to do. I'll do it. They listened to me and they were submissive, but at the same time, I struggled with, like, these guys don't fear me at all. I can tell. Like, they don't, they're doing something. There's something else going on here. Now, I know it. They had their Lord and their Savior and their King was Jesus, and they were just submitting to me by proxy, right? Because they loved Jesus. And those three men played a huge part in my coming to faith. Huge part. Like brothers, sisters, friends, like you, your just ability to wherever God puts you in your workplace, in your family, wherever it is, just your spirit of submission to God is such a witness. Amen. And I would just encourage you to lean into that. Again, we live in a culture that just doesn't value it in any way. It's seen as weak, but we know who we are, and we are strong, not in our own strength, but in Christ. All right, Peter goes on in verse 16 and 17. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. We are not slaves to human authority. We are slaves to God. Our master is not our boss. Our master is not the president. Our master is not the governor. Our master is Jesus. We are free. In fact, I would say it like this. We are free to submit. Right? We are free to submit. We don't have to worry about the person over us because we know God has put them there, and in his providence, this is what he has for us, and we are free to submit. But he says this, he says, don't use this freedom as a cover-up for evil. So now Peter's just hedging, like, okay, we're free, but there's a way that we could say we're free from all of this, that we could just be arrogant and evil and say, I don't submit to anyone. Jesus is my Lord. I won't submit. I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to follow these laws. I'm not going to pay these taxes. And Peter's calling that out. He's saying, no, that is evil. Don't do that. Honor everyone. All people. Honor everyone. Even the worst are made in the image and likeness of God. Even the worst people deserve honor because they are made in God's image. And then he says, love the brotherhood. It's not always easy to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're spending a lot of time with them. As Christians, we have a lot of opinions, right? We can rub kind of up against each other. So he's saying, you're going to show honor to everyone, but you're going to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he says, fear God. Honor the emperor. Not honor God, fear the emperor. He's probably taking a swipe at emperor worship. Like, hey, we don't have to fear. We don't fear the president. We don't fear the governor. We don't have to fear. We'll honor them, just like we're to honor everyone. But we fear God and God alone. And we can't get that backwards. So this really all comes down to the sovereignty of God in your life, in my life. I want to ask you a question, and if you came with someone, maybe continue this conversation today afterwards, but do you trust that every detail of your life is in God's hands? Every detail, right down to the rest of your day today, to what you have for lunch, to who you have lunch with. Do you trust that all authority in your life, all the authority figures in your life have been instituted and put there by the Lord Jesus Christ? And when he wants to remove them, he will surely remove them. Your marriage, your husband, your boss, presidents, former presidents, future presidents. I know sovereignty can be a doctrine in the church that Christians tend to wrestle with because we're American. You know, we're the captain of our own ship. We make our own decisions. But the Bible really just blasts that out of the water. I have found so much comfort in my own walk with God, just knowing that everything in my life is designed by him, sent by him, and that he knows about it. In fact, Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. Not only is the king instituted by God and removed by God, but his heart is in God's hands, and God can move that this way or that way if he pleases. He turns it wherever he will. This is the God we worship, that the king's heart, the president's heart, Putin's heart, you name it. Like, think of everything going on in the globe right now. Their hearts are in the hand of the Lord. In the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar commanded all the wise men of Babylon to be killed. He had a dream, and he was like, tell me my dream and interpret it. None of them, of course, could do it. He's like, kill them all, get rid of them. And Daniel and his friends, of course, would have been included in this. And the Lord speaks to Daniel, tells him what the dream was, and reveals to him what the dream was about. And listen to what Daniel says. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all authority has been instituted by God, and right down to who those people are, have been placed by God, and when they're removed, it will be because God removed them. And we can rest in that. We can rest in that. And as God's children, you trust in all of the sovereignty, and we can trust that we have another king. His name is King Jesus, whom all these kings of the earth submit to, all of them. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and we rest in that truth. In fact, Paul says in Colossians, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you're here and this is not you, if you've been wrestling with, okay, I don't quite understand who Jesus is. I don't understand this gospel that you guys are preaching. I'm kind of working through this spiritually. I'm not quite sure where I am. And I would just say this, that Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, and through your trust in that, your faith in that has taken you out of the kingdom of darkness and placed you in the kingdom of Christ. And again, if that's not you in here, talk to someone in here. They will share more about that. Jesus is good. He's a master, yes, but he's a master who died for you and me while we were still enemies. What master does that? And he's the master that says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's no other master that you could go to that could say that. Oh, what a master he is, folks. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children, just in need to receive from you. Lord, we realize that our salvation is all you. It is not earned in any way, nor do we keep it like Mike read in the confession. It is all you. And we praise your holy name for that truth. Help us to be a people who freely submit. Help us to be a people who are discerning and know when we shouldn't. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We praise you that you are the King of all the kings of the earth, the Lord of all the lords of the earth. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we are